The first thing, I wanted to just share some of the things that I have learned about motherhood and some things I'm still learning about motherhood. Number one is give yourself... Thank you. That's motherhood. He got a brownie point today. I was having a conversation with him a few weeks ago, and we were talking about how some people, right after they have a baby, they have postpartum depression. And I was talking to him, he goes, well, and I said, I didn't realize it because we didn't talk about it that much at the time, back in the day, but I had postpartum depression with all three of my children. And he goes, well, why were you depressed? I go, well, no, there's not really a reason why. You just, your hormones are all getting back to normal and you just feel really depressed and down about everything in your life. He goes, but there has to be a reason for it. There has to be some reason why you feel that way. I said, actually, there's no reason. You know, you just feel that way. And he says, well, thanks for not drowning me in a bathtub. You know, as a mother, you will take your gratitude any way you can get it, right? The first thing that I wanted to talk, I have seven things, because seven is the perfect number. And I'm going to move through this quickly because I have several other ladies that are going to share a little testimony, and I don't want to take up their time. But the first thing is give yourself a timeout. Now, I know most of you think about, when you think about timeout, you think about giving your children a timeout. But actually, I think the parents, and especially the mom, is the one that needs a timeout. If you need to say to your child, go to your room, and then you go to your room, and then you throw yourself on the mercy of God and ask for help, that is something that really, really helped me keep from going nuts with my kids sometimes when I was really upset. You probably have all heard this illustration before. If you're making lemonade, you're squeezing lemon juice from the lemon, and whatever you squeeze out of that lemon is what's going to come out. And the same way with us, when we get squeezed, what's really in our heart comes out. And that's why I think we need to take a time out ourselves. James 1 says, and Seth taught this to our kids when they were really little, but I think we need it. It should be really the motto of motherhood, which is be slow to speak, quick to hear, excuse me, I'm a little slow here, quick to hear, slow to speak, that's the part I have trouble with, and slow to become angry. And I would say definitely that quick to hear, all three of those parts are something that I struggle with. And one of the things I realized, and if you think about your childhood, there are probably negative things that people have said to you as a kid that you will never forget. If I opened it up for testimonies, we don't have time. But if I did, I bet almost everybody would have something they could remember. Some adult, whether it was a parent or somebody, a teacher or somebody negative saying to you that you have never forgotten, and it really actually becomes a part of your self-image through the years. And that's the thing about our words. You cannot take them back. And that leads me into my next point, point number two, which is no yelling. Oh, I know that's so hard not to yell because you want to yell so much. And you want to make people pay for what they've done and said. At least that's the way I am. One of the things, if you continue a pattern of yelling, your kids begin to just blow you off. They don't listen to anything you said. Oh, there's mom. And then it really encourages them not to take responsibility. Because if you yell, then instead of them saying, oh, you know what, I really should have shared with my brother, instead of trying to rip his head off or whatever it was. You know, instead of that, they say, oh, that's mom. She's just yelling again. She's just mad again. She's upset. So instead of them taking any responsibility for what they've done, they blame it on you. So it is best, that's where we go back to the timeout. Sometimes you need to go get that time just for a few seconds away and throw yourself on the mercy of God. I teach kindergarten, and last week I had a moment where this one kid was really getting under my skin, and I just looked up to heaven in that moment and said, "Help!" Because I needed that, and God gave it to me. He gave me that help that I needed. A verse in Titus 3:2 that I think is really appropriate for moms is, avoid quarreling, be gentle, and show perfect courtesy toward all people. And that gentleness, another verse that says, let your gentleness be known to all people. And that's something that I'm continuing to work on. Number three, let me give you a couple more verses that I just love. These are all out of James. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. And I have a CD of the Bible on tape, and I was listening through James, and all of those verses on the tongue just jumped out at me. Here's another one. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Now, all of us want to be complete, perfect. We want to be growing. We want to be changing into a person that's better than what we were. And this so clearly says it. If you have control of your tongue, you are a perfect person. And that was, having control of your tongue is a continual challenge, I think, for all of us. Number three, this is something that has not been a strong suit in my life. It's limit lectures. You know, a lot of times our lectures end up being, we are venting our frustration. We're upset, we're angry. Again, we want to make people pay for what they've done. So we just go off and off, and pretty soon we don't even remember what we're talking about because we've gotten so far afield from what we began with. And this is an issue that absolutely that I have. And that would be number three, and I'm still working on that. Number four is, remember that you will impact generations. Now, sometimes that's a little scary to think about, but you are setting normal for your family. And when you think about the way that your family was, I had a very, I had a wonderful family in so, so many ways. They were very hospitable. We had so many people come to live with us. My three cousins lived with us for 3 years. My mom was 27, and she had six kids under the age of seven. And she raised them for 3 years, then took one of those kids on for the rest of high school. There was a girl who lost both of her parents to cancer, and she stayed with us for a whole year until she graduated from high school. We had a girl that was had trouble with bulimia and anorexia, and she stayed with us for a couple of years, and my mother helped her. We had a kid that was left for dead, slit from here about this far from his heart, by one of the sons of, I think it was the mayor of Fort Lauderdale at the time. And he was left for dead. They heard somebody coming, otherwise they would have thrown him in the water and it would have been one of the canals down there and he would have been dead. But my parents took him in for several years. So my normal is that you always take people in and you always minister to people that are needy and this and that and the other. And so that has become the normal for my family. We're always having people stay with us and this and that and the other. But that's a good normal. But other normals sometimes are not that great. My family is full of extroverts. They consider me the mild, gentle, quiet one of the group. And it's funny because, I mean, even my relatives, the aunts and uncles, they all consider me that because they're all, I have extreme on both sides. Everybody is an extreme over-the-top extrovert. So in my family, there was lots of yelling and screaming and hollering going on. So sometimes your norm will be that you fall back on what you're used to. Other times you will hate what you saw in your family in certain areas, and you will do everything you can to go against that. But whatever you choose to do, you are impacting generations to come. Not just your children, but your impact on them will be an impact on their children, and on and on and on. And just because you've been grown up in a certain family, you can change things. You can move things and make things differently. Ephesians 4:15 says that we are to speak the truth in love. And so as we're sharing with our kids and as we're establishing normal, we're speaking the truth to them, but without lecturing, without yelling, and taking our timeouts when we need to take our timeouts. So bottom line, you are determining what your children will see as normal. Number five. See, we're moving toward the end. I'm not being that long-winded. Number five. This is something that I'm working on. I think Christy is helping me with this. But it's. I feel like I've just started making some baby steps in this area. So I can't deliver a whole sermon on this subject because I don't really know that much about it. And that would be, listen more, give advice less. You know, I feel like I have so much wisdom and I have so many years of experience that everyone needs to hear about all of my experience. And a lot of times if we let our children talk and give them an opportunity to say what they're struggling with or various things in their life, they're smart enough, they can come to the right conclusions. We don't have to just beat them over the head with all the things that we think that they should know. They really can figure a lot of things out without the benefit of our opinions. Hebrews 10:24 tells us that we should figure out how we can stimulate one another or encourage one another to love and good deeds. And I think one of the ways that we can encourage and stimulate our kids is just to listen to them. Because when you listen to people, they feel so valued by you that you really, really care about them. That because you're taking your time, you're not thinking about everything else in the world, you are focusing just on them. You're listening to what is really on their heart. And I think that's a huge thing that we can do as mothers, as parents. Grandparents are so great at this. We had grandparents' day at our school on Friday, and the kids were running around showing them all the neat work that they had done, and look what I did, and look at this project, and the grandparents were completely enthralled. One of my little boys ran over and got the book that he was reading in our reading group and said, "Look at this book. I'm reading a chapter book now, Grandma. Isn't that great?" And Grandma is just so excited and thrilled. And grandparents just really do this well. They know how to relate to their grandchildren. Now, Monday, tomorrow, we will have open house for the parents to come. And it won't be the same thing. It won't. They will see their friends that they haven't seen in a while. They'll go talk to them and this and that. They might see two or three things that their kids do, but they won't give that same attentiveness to their kids a lot of times that the grandparents do. And so I think that's something that as parents we can learn from our parents, from the grandparents. They are so attentive to our children, and we can learn to be that way too. Another word on encouragement, kids, this is number six, be encouraging. And one of the things that I learned so much from my little kindergartners, because you cannot even pay for the entertainment that I get every single day in the classroom. And I learned so much about their families and their parents. You cannot even imagine that either. I have a little boy that he knows how to get encouragement from me every day. He comes up, "Mrs. Gatchel, I pushed in every single chair at all the tables." I said, "Well, that's so great. You are such an amazing helper." And other times he'll come up to me, "Mrs. Gatchel," and I say, "What?" He goes, I got in line all day and I didn't push anybody out. I said, wow, you are just blowing me away today. And he is learning from the encouragement that I give to him. Christy came to school one day and helped me. And he heard somebody go up to Christy and say, you know, Christy, you have such a beautiful shirt on today. And so my friend, I can't say his name, comes right up to Christy and says, Christy, I like your shirt and your pants. So as we encourage our children and my students, they learn to encourage one another. And that's the kind of children that we want to grow up. As we encourage, they just think that's normal. Oh, you're just supposed to go around telling people how great they are and what a blessing they are, because that's the environment that they're used to. And number seven, my very, very last point is this. Buy up time in every season of your life. I think about the times when my kids were little and they weren't in school yet, and I used to go with friends. Some were Christians, some were not Christians. Some were my neighbors, some were people at church. I used to go to the park with them. And that was such an opportunity to bless them, to encourage them, to find out more about them, and to encourage their children. A lot of times when you talk to people, they just talk about how great their kids are. They're not focused on anybody else. But there's so many opportunities in the seasons of life. Then I had the seasons of life when I was going to at least 2 soccer games a week, sometimes 4. And that was such a special time when you look back on that. Sometimes I was like, how long is this soccer game going to last? You know, I got things to do. But during that time, that's a time where you're sitting around on the sidelines with parents. Some are going through really tough times. Some are going through divorces. Some of them need an encouraging word. And that's the moment in time that you want to buy up those opportunities with those families. And then you keep on going, and then your kids are in high school, and you're in the booster club, and you're having to sell candy after the game, and all those kinds of things that you have to do. And just buying up those opportunities with people, being intentional about your time with people. And then as they get to be adulthood, you get to know a lot of their friends more closely, and just being intentional with their friends. How can I be a blessing to the people that they're involved with, and those kinds of things. So that's something that I've learned, to really be intentional in the different seasons of your life. I know Jane and Tasha were talking the other day about, they did this tea for, I think it was 4th or 5th graders, at 4th graders, I guess it was, that they have teas at every school where they're introducing the kids to the facts of life and things like that. And one of the things about them that really inspires me, they're always looking for opportunities to be a blessing, to be an encouragement in every possible way. They've started, and they may talk to you a little bit for a few minutes about our Fit for Christ that we have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings. And they've invited so many people. And it's not just a time of exercise. It's a time of encouragement and blessing. Because all of us as women and moms, we all need that encouragement from one another. Just looking for opportunities to be a blessing and an encouragement to people. And my last verse I want to share is Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So as women, as men, as parents, as single people, that's my challenge to all of us, making the most of every opportunity. We won't have this season again. So that's my challenge to all of us today. And we have several of our women that are going to come up and share in just a few minutes. And while we're sharing, if you guys want to pull out your welcome card and write, you know, if you have a prayer request or something on there, while the next few, we have a few that are just coming up to share something from their hearts today. And I think Michelle is the first one.
John, can we get the first three, please?
Yes.
Okay. Here are a few pictures of my family vacation 2 years ago. Well, I'm a very visual learner, probably a good thing because Alex and the girls are convinced I'm going deaf. But anyway, I decided to show these pictures as a representation of my spiritual life a year ago. Do you know where this place is? Anybody? Death Valley. Basically, I was walking in the desert. From these pictures, you can see from afar, things look pretty decent. But close up, there is hardly any life, and barely anything grows there. My spiritual life was just like that. It's not like I wasn't coming to church or doing ministry or, you know, doing small group. I did, but my heart wasn't there. I was basically just going through the motions, and every time I did that, I was just asking God, I need to feel something more. Can anybody relate to how I was feeling? Yeah? Or was it just me? Okay, good. All right, next picture, John. Okay. This is a picture in the middle of Death Valley, and this place is 282 feet below sea level. And right there you can see a little arrow. I don't know if you can see it in the middle of the mountain. That would be sea level. Does anybody know the name of this place? It's called Badwater. Okay. Now this is where I was about 6 months ago. I show you this visual because this is where I was about 6 months ago. I reached my spiritual rock bottom. I was going through the motions of, you know, what I deemed my spiritual life, but this time I was doing it with attitude, and as Seth, or maybe it was Debbie Hall cloned it, a dirty rotten attitude. So, you know, I dreaded coming to church, I became critical, and at one point I was even thinking that maybe PCI isn't just not the church for me. In January, there was an opportunity for me to go to a retreat. I missed it last year, and I don't even know why. However, I decided to go this year, but for all the wrong reasons. And I remember Mindy would say, if she didn't get enough people coming to the retreat, she'll have to work at Big Five. So everybody remember that? So I was like, okay, I don't want Mindy to work at Big Five. And then I remember Seth saying, well, you know, this speaker that's coming is absolutely fantastic. And if you don't go, and if you don't get anything out of it, then he will give you your money back. And I was like, okay, good, nothing to lose. And then the third reason why I went is because, you know, I felt like I had a friend who really needed to go. And if I didn't go, she wouldn't go. So I had to go. Now talk about all the wrong reasons to go on a retreat. That was me. Well, I'll never forget this retreat. This was one of those life-changing experiences for me. God revealed himself to me and met me there in my spiritual brokenness. You know, I came back from the retreat as if I had gone to the hospital for a cataract operation. And from the retreat, I learned several lessons. One was trust and obey. Two, intentional actions. Three, pray with faith. And four, listen for and to God. The first two lessons I got from Carolyn, the speaker. But the other 2 points, the pray with faith and the listening to God, I got from God. And at one point, I was praying there, and he clearly spoke to me. And he said to me, Michelle, if you only have faith the size of a mustard seed, I could move mountains. And it was at this point that I just broke down in tears, because what I did was I was just feeling what a disappointment I was to my Heavenly Father. You know, my faith was almost non-existent. My actions weren't intentional. I was not listening for God, and I was not listening to God. And I was not trusting and obeying. Over the past year, God had given me opportunities to minister to women, and he was calling me to do something more. But I kept putting him off. I kept saying that I was, quote unquote, busy. You know, I had my business from home. I was doing housework, being chauffeur for my girls, PTA. The list goes on. And the most important thing, I was scared of failure. However, after the retreat, I saw God's hand at work. God was working in the hearts of several women to do something for his glory. God also showed me women who were broken, lost, and spiritually dry, just like I had been. I decided to trust and obey and commit to starting a heart-to-heart ministry. I believe we all go through seasons. Sometimes we're in a season of drought, and we need to be ministered to. You will have a place here at Heart to Heart. And sometimes we're in a season of bounty, where we are richly blessed, our cup is overflowing, and now it's time to bless others. You, too, will have a place in Heart to Heart. Ladies, you have all been called to be part of Heart to Heart, whether it's for refreshment or to bring refreshment. Over the past few weeks, I have prayed that God would speak to each and every one of you here who comes to this Mother's Day service. I believe that there is a reason for you here. I pray that you will step out in faith, trust and obey God, and be an active participant in the heart-to-heart ministry. You will be blessed. And the last picture is this one. And this is Furnace Creek Inn. And this is a place in the middle of Death Valley that does get water. Thank you.
Good morning. Before I get started, I want to give a shout out to the worship band. Ladies, you're rocking this morning. Woo! Great job. Great job. You guys sound so good. Well, when I found out that I had the opportunity to speak before you all this morning, I prayed to God about what he wanted me to share. And the Lord put on my heart that I would talk about serving. And I thought, oh, no. No, God, I'm not going to talk to a room full of women about serving, because that's all they do. I know these women, and I don't think it's a good idea. And plus, they might think I'm trying to recruit Sunday school teachers, which I'm not. Maybe a little bit. But anyway, no, I'm here to share my personal testimony on servanthood and serving God and serving others. Along my journey as a Christian, I've always been a servant. And I think most women by nature are. We're mothers, we're caregivers. But although it comes naturally, to me it didn't bring me joy. And, you know, I was a servant, always the first to sign up, the first to pitch in, always the first to start complaining. I served all right, but like Michelle said, I served with the DRA. We all know what that means here. Dirty, rotten attitude. I did. I had a grumbling heart, and the more I served, the more I grumbled. And there was no joy for me in serving. And eventually the dirty, rotten attitude and grumbling turned to discontent. And I had become discontent in every area of my life because my life was about serving. I'm a wife and a mother, a daughter-in-law, school volunteer, church volunteer, you name it, you ladies all do it. My life was about serving and I was discontent. And my discontent grew, just like Michelle talked about, into a season of dryness, spiritual dryness. And as the discontent grew, my relationship with God just was spiraling down. And I was even beginning to question my faith. What is it I really believe? God, I'm showing up, I'm serving, I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And where are you in this? And I had just grown really disconnected from God. And during this season, God was calling me to do amazing things, amazing work in this church, and I was annoyed. I didn't want to be a part of it. I was angry, and I was too busy. But God is faithful, and he is merciful, and he rescued me in my darkest hour, and he revealed to me. He said, Tasha, you're discontent, not because you serve, but because of who you serve. Now, how many times does the Bible say that we need to serve God and others? Countless. Deuteronomy 10:12. Serve the Lord God with all your heart and all your soul. 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. And that's not what I was doing. I wasn't serving God and I wasn't serving others. I was serving myself. I served because it made me look good. And it made my husband look good. And my family look good. But I didn't look good to God. He saw my heart. He saw my grumbling heart. And because of who I was serving, I was not receiving the blessings of joy that come from being a true Christ-like servant. Now, God didn't just cure me of my DRA in a day, and it was and is a process. But he did bring a wonderful, godly woman into my life to show me what it meant not only to be a Christ-like servant, but to be a Mary-like servant. You know, when God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary to tell her that she would give birth to a son, Mary didn't grumble or complain. She didn't say, you know, God, I don't really want to be pregnant because I'm going on a vacation and I'm not going to get in my bathing suit. You know, Mary didn't react like that. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And this is the type of woman that God brought into my heart, a Mary-like servant. And to be in the presence of someone like this is humbling. Somebody that thanks you for serving them. Somebody who truly cared, truly listened, somebody that radiated joy and contentment. And this is the woman that God has called all of us to be. And this is the woman that I want to be. One of my deepest, deepest regrets during this time is the example I set for my children. Why would my children ever want to serve God and serve others when they saw me and heard my complaining? My grumbling heart. But I am so, so grateful, and I praise God every day for saving me from myself. God has poured out so many blessings upon me since my dirty, rotten attitude adjustment. But by no means do I think I've got it all together. I know I'm a work in progress, or a piece of work, one or the other, I'm not sure. But I am receiving God's blessings, and he is bringing the loveliest women into my life. And I am feeling the joy of servanthood. So, ladies, I end this morning with a couple questions for you to just ponder this week. In all your busyness, take some time to think about these things. How is your relationship with God? Is it distant and disconnected? Maybe you need an attitude adjustment. And what kind of legacy of servanthood do you want to leave for your children? And lastly, are you the woman that God has called you to be, a Mary-like servant?
Good morning. Okay, you guys are all in for a little bit of a roller coaster ride here because here's my talk. One page, two page, three. It is so long. Okay, and it is not really about my dirty, rotten attitude. That wasn't my issue. But it is a sermon in and of itself. And so I have decided that, you know, in August when Seth takes a little vacation, I'll be giving the sermon. And I will tell you all about this. But what God has really laid on my heart in the shower this morning, okay, this is the deal. One day last week, Tasha says to me, guess what God told me in the shower this morning? I'm like, what? And it was something to do with this Fit for Christ ministry. I'm like, are you sure? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we're going to go with it. So I was in the shower this morning, and God just really laid on my heart a story about Brandon. And since it's Mother's Day, I'm going to tell you my story about Brandon and about being a mom. And I feel like I should have followed Mindy. Actually, I should have followed Anita Renfro, because I am Anita. I am the mom who, and I think we all kind of wear this hat, the taskmaster, the general, the, you know, do this, do that, pick up your clothes, use nice manners. And my husband is Disneyland Dad. He is so much fun, and he is so warm, and he's so caring, and he's the best dad. And so I'm busy being the taskmaster. And I'm also busy being a servant. I think I have the gift of serving. I don't even have usually a dirty, rotten attitude about it. I love it. And so I just serve and serve and serve, and not to make me sound like all selfless, but I serve and serve and serve, and I'm so passionate about it. And then I'm busy, and my kids are annoying the crap out of me. Excuse me. They're just annoying me because I have things to do, important things for God, and why do you need to talk to me? You know, I mean, I can get in that mode because what I feel like what I'm doing is good stuff. And why do they need clean underwear? Why? And so that's kind of how I've been lately, because we have started this Fit for Christ ministry, and it's so amazing. And it's all good, and I feel like it's good that I'm doing this. And so I haven't done laundry in 10 days, and there is no food in my house. I'm not kidding. And so I'm going to work on that this afternoon. But so on Wednesday, it had been another day of all about me and God and all the amazing things I'm doing. I'd spent the morning at BSF, and well, I'm not going to bore you with the details. So, I of course had come and served at church all night, and well, I didn't really serve. I sat up here and cried. But anyway, that's another story. And so I get home at 9 o'clock at night, and I have to get up at 5 a.m. and leave to go do something. I sell jewelry. I had this big all-day event that I had done nothing to prepare for, and Brandon, so we get home late, and I'm like, Brandon, his feet are black because he's barefoot at church. We are so white trash. And I'm like, go take a shower and get in bed, because that's how I am. And so he comes skipping downstairs like 25 minutes later, and he's like, Mom, look at my feet. Okay, I can tell he has not been in the shower yet. Did he not hear me? But his feet are sparkling clean. He's like, Mom, come upstairs. I want to do something for you. And okay, every fiber of my being was just like, leave me alone, I'm going to snap, you know. But he was so sweet. I don't know if any of you guys know my little Brandon. He's got this blonde hair and these big blue eyes, and he's so, like, full of passion about things. And he's like, please, Mommy, come upstairs. I want to do something for you. And so the mom, taskmaster, general, and me wanted to say, I told you to get in the shower and get in bed. It's late. You have testing tomorrow. Blah, blah, blah. But every once in a while, like Tasha says, God rescues me from myself. And so I paste a smile on my face, and I go upstairs, and he had been to a food expo, and he had picked out all these lavender soaps just for me. And he had laid a towel out on the counter, and he's like, Mom, I want to give you a foot massage. And so I get up on the counter, and he fills the sink with warm water. And I wish you could have seen him just looking at me with adoration. Why? I am a hideous witch of a mother. And he's just, he's in his little boxers. He's almost as big as I am now. And he's like, okay, Mom, now put your feet in. And he gets that lavender soap that he has saved just for me. And he is lathering up his hands, and he is rubbing my feet. And he's cleaning them. And it was so sweet. So I got the best foot massage I've ever had, and it was just from his heart. And what if I had missed that moment? That's what I'm trying to convey to you. Stop in your busyness every once in a while. Like, you're probably all not a crazy taskmaster like I am, but God has really laid that on my heart lately, that I'm so busy doing what I think are good things, and my children are growing up. I learned with Colin. He'll say to me, I wasn't going to name any names, don't go out on the patio and tell any of them that I said this. His thing is, I've learned, he'll say, Mom, are you going to walk the dog tonight? I'll be like, no. But that means he wants to talk to me. And so I'll be like, yeah, I was just getting my shoes on. And one time we walked the dog, and I mean, that's when I hear all about his girl troubles and what's going on at school. And one time I found myself at 10:30 on a school night. We're flipping on the monkey bars at our old school because they have to do that in PE, and he doesn't know how, and he's embarrassed, and so I'm teaching him. What if I had missed that moment? It's kind of like Tasha said. I feel like we are in a little bit of trying to be an example of how God loves them. They're gonna, and like Mindy said, we're creating their sense of normalcy. How are they gonna know that God loves them and He's always there for them if their mom is always like, in a minute, not now? So that is a really just jointed random story. But I just, on Mother's Day, I just want to remind you all, don't miss the little moments. Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm also not going to say anything I plan to. I just want to, just to summarize, just tell you how excited I am. You can see God has taken all of our dirty, rotten attitudes, because I had one too, and He's just put it on a lot of our hearts as individuals, and then brought us together to do something which I believe is going to be really great, and just to be more intentional about reaching out to each other and loving each other. That was, besides loving God, that's the second most important thing He told us to do, and that's why He invented churches. That's why we're here, because He wants us to be that for each other, to love each other and just reach out to each other. So so this heart-to-heart ministry that Michelle was talking about, that's what it's about. And we're hoping that you will all be part of it. And the two ways you can be part of it is, firstly, as Michelle said, if you're in a good time with God, you're in a time of blessing, and just be intentional about reaching out to those around you, those you know, reach out to those you don't know, and just start pulling people in and loving people more. And then on the other side, on the flip side, if you're in a time of drought and going through struggles, which we all do, you know, life is just up and down all the time, and we're not meant to go through that stuff alone. So if you have a need, please share it with us. And we want to just be more intentional about ministering to everybody, but women especially in this ministry. And you'll see over there, there's a little table set up, and that's going to be there every week. It's just a little table where you can come if you have a need, and there'll be people to pray for you. If you can just write a prayer request down, and the team will pray for you, or there'll be people to pray for you there on Sundays after every service. And we just wanted to just tell you that we've all been convicted of the same thing, and it's really exciting because we can see God really working through it, and we just really want to do this better. So we hope you'll all join us.
I know there are probably a lot of you mothers are going to go out here thinking, you know, I'm not such a loser as I thought I was. And that's kind of the point. That's kind of the point of church. This is a place where we want people to be able to come and talk about real life and talk about the real stuff that goes on in your hearts and the struggles with the DRAs that all of us have and the times of desert that we all go through. One of the thoughts that struck me, and Allie alluded this is a great day for moms. But if this is the only day where you have this kind of encouragement until next year, you're going to be in another big desert. Mothering is not a solo act. It's not you out leading the charge with your kids behind you by yourself. That's a very tough road. God made it in such a way that we really do need each other. And being a mom, just like being a dad, is a team effort. I need some men in my life who will challenge me to be a better dad. That doesn't happen just on Father's Day next month and then until next year. I'm involved with some guys on a regular basis who challenge me to be a better man. And I would encourage you ladies, if you are not connected in a small group or not connected in a women's group or some kind of ministry, to take advantage to get signed up in this thing. Talk to any of the ladies, especially Michelle, but any of the ladies that talk today, and be intentional about being connected with some other moms for the sake of encouraging each other and walking with each other and just being able to tell your story to somebody else. And I know when I tell my story to some of my guy friends, when I get done and my friend just kind of looks at me, well, of course you would struggle with that. I think, you know, I'm not a loser. Maybe I'll do okay. Maybe I really can become the man I aspire to be. So let me encourage you ladies to take advantage of this opportunity. God really is working in these women in our church. And he really is raising something up important. And you have an opportunity to grab onto that while it's moving and to be a part. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your faithful work in our lives, that you take us just as we are, with all the messes that we are in our hearts, and the messes that come out of our mouths, and the messes that come from our hands, and the messes that come from our attitudes. We thank you for the wonder of mercy that receives us just as we are and that washes us because of the blood of Christ, that offers cleansing and forgiveness every day and the chance to start afresh and anew. Thank you that you have arranged things that we really do need, not only you, but we need people. And we pray that you would help us to grasp the opportunity that is staring us in the face right now and to be intentional about being connected with some people. We just ask you to work in the hearts of all of us who are here, and that because of this day and this time, the words that and the hearts that have been shared today, that as we look back in the weeks and months and years to come, many, many people, especially women, would think about this day as a day of a new beginning. We lift this up to you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.